your Bibles, go ahead and turn in the New Testament to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, or find that on your iPads. We'll be also having the scriptures on the screen here in the New King James Version. I'm on a brand new series this morning. It's called Postured. I really feel the Holy Spirit in my own life, in my mind, and my heart is really talking to me about how we need to be those that are postured to be launched into some new areas of our lives. That may be in our marriage, it may be the place we work at, it may be our influence upon people around us. You might be postured for increase as far as promotions go, as far as finances go. Maybe it's posture for God to heal our bodies of long-standing sickness, long-standing disease, and also being postured for even perhaps rebellious children inside of our household coming to God, coming to Christ, and we're finding divine order coming in our house once again. I think there's those in this room today that can say you're postured for something in this life. And I believe the Holy Spirit's got something to speak to us today to help us be launched into the new things that God has in store for us in this life. All of us know what it's like to wait. So I've called this first message today, Postured for God to Move. Postured for God to Move. Because all of us are going to go throughout periods and times where we actually wait for something in life. And all of us can say, I'm sure, that waiting is not pleasant. Waiting is not fun. In Austin, Texas, there's been such a population increase take place. There's more and more wrecks happening all over our city. And so from time to time, we find ourselves going through car crashes on I-35 or MOPAC or other side roads around us that can sometimes cause us to be 30 minutes or more late to work on an ongoing basis. Nobody likes an unexpected delay that is not our fault and is not our problem. And some person made this actually delay take place in our lives. But the fact is, you're going to be facing some delays in life that are totally beyond your control. That somebody else actually causes that delay to happen. But again, God, like Cheryl was saying today also, wants all these things become sometimes petty in our own eyes, in our own sight, to start seeing more and more the bigger picture. This is not all that defines my life. It's the waiting I go through because God has got a great big picture, a great big plan for me, and His plan is still intact. Though delays may take place and happen in my life. Amen? Some of you here are waiting right now for the right job to happen. Some are waiting to start a family. Some are waiting here to get married. Some are waiting to see again a breakthrough take place in your children's lives. Some are waiting here for a financial increase, to see debt broken off your life and see things that needs being met on a more ongoing, more easy basis in your life as well. Some are waiting for a certain benchmark to happen in your child's life where they finally do something on their own for the first time. All of us are either waiting for something right now to happen, or you will be in a place where you will be waiting for something in the future to take place and to happen. God wants to realize and understand that when the waiting period is here, the waiting game is happening, that God must be present in those times, lest we find ourselves being weighted down by frustrations and doing sometimes some things that are preemptive that actually sidetracks what God's best would be if we'd made the right decisions by waiting upon the Lord and waiting for Him to situations in life. Let's read now in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. We're going to talk about a racer, person that gets involved in a race, because God speaks about this also through Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 9, and learn some things also from these verses today. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But it says one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. So it's saying right there, you can run in a way that you don't obtain the prize. And God says run in such a way that you will obtain the prize. Everybody, it says, who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I want you to write down some things, perhaps in your bulletins, your note place today, if you can do that, find something to write these things down. We call these take-home points. I have four things I want to bring out this morning here. The first thing is, number one, about how we actually handle delays, how we handle waiting, how we find ourselves completing the race in the way that God wants us to bring forth the kind of fruit that God ordains in our lives. The first thing to write down here, number one, is God has a race for every one of us. The Bible says here very plainly, all run a race. We're all in a race right now. We're all in competition with hell, not with God, not with fellow believers. We're in a race against the powers of darkness. And again, the good news is we all know the race will be won by the just. But also God says every one of us individually, God's ordained a race for us also to run that only we know about as God reveals that to us. And God is saying run in such a way that you obtain the prize in your lives. One of the important things about a race is you need to stay in your own lane. When these guys line up behind these starting blocks, they've got sometimes the inside lane, the middle lane, the outside lane. And many Christians, sometimes God will place them on the outside lane to begin with. And they say, well, that's unfair because those that are in the inside lane have got less distance to travel and run than those on the middle or the outside lanes. So what God is saying to us, first of all, is do not envy your brother and sister's lane. You're in the lane you're in because God put you there, because God knows His grace is sufficient for you in whatever lane God places you in life. Your lane may take you faster, it may take you longer to get to where you're going to go to, but the good news is you will get there in exactly the timing of God if you'll stay in your lane and not try to cut over into somebody else's lane and shortcut or prolong the race God has in your life. Amen. And also God is telling us, don't compare yourself to the lane next to you, the folks next to you in their lanes. Don't compare yourself to other people. Their giftings, their callings are not your giftings, not your callings. Be content with those things God placed inside of your life and realize that God can use you like nobody else. God will not make two of you. If God makes two of us, one of us is not needed on the earth. Amen. God makes no two people alike because God knows exactly who you are, where you're going to live at, when you'll be alive. And God can use you the best to accomplish those things God's ordained for you to accomplish. So I'm saying do not envy the people in the lane next to you, their giftings, their callings, their race. I'm saying get your eyes fixed straight ahead upon Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher of your faith, and realize that race He has set before you can be run to bring forth the most fruit if you'll stay in your lane. It also says here you can start well, but then lose a race by a thing called disqualification. Many, many believers don't realize that He who began a good work in us wants to complete that work until Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, until we die and see Him face to face in our spirit man. But God is saying you can be disqualified from receiving the inheritance that God has for each one of us on this earth, and even affect some things for the eternal life down the road. The question today is, what do you do between the get set and the go in life? We're going to talk about that also in this message. So number two, thing to write down this morning is this. Number two is get set in faith. When you're going through a waiting time in life, I'm saying get set in faith. Be in faith. Know what faith is. Have faith not in yourself, but have faith in God. And say, I'm going to be right here in this place, waiting right on this starting block until I know that God says it is time to start. I'm going to be set in faith. We have two decisions to make when wedding games take place in our lives. One decision is we can wait in faith, or we can be like Cheryl and wait in anxiety. Amen? And so praise God again. Cheryl is one person I know that waits in faith for everything I've seen take place in life. And God pulls through for her. Like she said this morning, when she prays for lost things in the house, within 30 minutes many times, she finds exactly what she's lost. Does not like, though, delayed spaghetti. Amen. And so God is telling you and I, though, today, when things that are big, things that are small are happening, can we somehow get our minds wrapped around the fact that God really is in control? I'm not going to let anxiety and worry grip my life. I'm not going to find myself losing a day of my life because I'm worrying and fretting about what could be in a negative realm. I'm going to set my face in faith and say, God, if you initiated this race, you're going to help me run this race. And I'm going to find myself coming to the end of this race, not being disqualified, but being qualified to receive the crown that you have for me and the prize at the end of this race. Let's look right now, if we could, at a man in the Old Testament whose name is Abraham. Abraham is an example of waiting by faith and receiving a promise from that. God has a next for Abraham. Abraham went through a whole lot of waiting, a whole lot of frustrations, but God told him many, many years before he reached 95 or 100 years old and had his first son, the son of promise, that is, that was promised by God to Abraham, then Isaac. Before that son was born, God told him many years before that, I have a next for you. What you've done in life, Abraham, thus far is not the best part of your life. The best is still yet to come. I tell the graduates here that are Sky, that are Nathaniel, that are those that are in high school as well, you've all got a next in front of you. All those that are here that are in your 70s and 80s and 90s, I'm saying God has got a next still for you. As long as you're alive and breathing on the earth, God has got a next for you upon the earth. Amen. The main thing is, are you going to be able to wait in faith, believing? The one who is the author of your faith is also the finisher of your faith. And he will help you bear fruits in great ways. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger as your life goes on. Can you believe that? Abraham, at 75 years of age, God tells him, you're going to be the father of many nations, give birth to a son. He's going to have so many descendants there to be like the stars of the heavens and the sand upon the seashore. Can't even be counted there. This promise comes out. Abraham's excited. Sarah's excited. She goes down to Walgreens, buys the EPT test, and takes that test and goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and finally years, and nothing's happening. And finally, about 10 years goes by, and in total frustration and total lack of faith and total flesh, in a weak moment, Abraham says, let's go ahead and get the maidservant here. His name is Hagar. Let's go ahead and have a baby by her, and let's help God out in the promise God gave us 10 years ago. We all know right now that son's name was Ishmael. Ishmael was born, but God said he's not the son of promise. He is not the finisher of your race. He is not the next I was talking about in your life. 15 more years go by, 25 years in total. Abraham's now about 100 years old, and finally Isaac is finally born. And that next takes place, that next happens. No matter how old or how young you are, I want to say again, God has a next for your life. But God has what's called the best next. God's next. And if you don't look out, you're going to find your flesh will bring forth the wrong next in your life. Amen. Abraham and Sarah wait again. They have the baby. Ishmael is born. Mistake is made. God overrides that. God still says, my promises are yes and amen. Praise God that Isaac is born in due time. Romans talks about this. Now let's look now at Romans chapter 4, verse 19 through 21. Because Romans speaks about what God says about Abraham's faith in giving birth to a son whose name was Isaac. Romans 4:19. And not being weak in faith, Abraham did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness also of his own wife Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform. I want to say that faith does not just believe in what can happen. Faith expects what will happen. Faith is something that you must expect, that what God's promised, what God says, God will perform what God says he will do. In the big picture about this in America, do you still believe in your heart our greatest revival is going to come to our nation before Jesus Christ comes back? Do you still believe there's hope for all of our youth that are 25 years old and younger in our country, even though 80% of them right now are quitting church and not going to church anywhere else whatsoever right now today? Do you still believe that God can help turn things around upon the body of Christ and bring us older folks into a place of brokenness, in a place of repentance, in a place of fire and zeal once again to show the love of Jesus Christ to all denominations, all churches, all groups, all believers around this country? Do you believe that walls can be broken down of division that holds us apart on Sunday mornings? Do you believe that God's saying the best days for the church are still yet ahead? Well, God's word does promise that in Joel, in Acts, and throughout the whole Old Testament, New Testament. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit, but also in the last days, in the last of the last days, there shall be a mighty move of my spirit, and the plowmen overtaken by the harvesters, and they're going to both come together here and bring forth a mighty end time harvest, says the Lord. But I'm saying the church of Jesus Christ must be those who realize that prayer is going to be at the center of this. Humbling ourselves, praying, and seeking the face of God. We're going to end with our service today about that later on today. But I know in my own heart, I still believe God has the best days for the church still ahead. The good news is, realize it or not, revival is breaking out in Africa, in parts of India, in parts of Nepal. I've seen it take place in Burma and Myanmar. I've seen God moving. I know He's moving very mightily in South America. God is moving by His Spirit in many great ways. May it also burn the hearts of the people of our nation as well in this hour and this day. What has God promised you that you're waiting for this morning? I'm believing God today, whatever God's put in your heart that you're waiting for, that God wants to bring breakthroughs for that, He's going to be a catalyst to start breaking down some barriers that's holding you back from what God has in your life. Some of you folks are waiting for God's presence more so, and even services like this. You're waiting for more healings, more miracles, more signs, more wonders, more faith, more of the supernatural. God is saying, please also wait for more of me. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon Him. That means serve Him, worship Him, praise Him, get near to Him. As you do that, God will then show us the byproducts of that will be more healings, more miracles, more presence, more love, more brokenness. Amen. He says, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness. All these other things will be added to you automatically if you'll just do that. We can't gauge the distance between the ready, set, and the go. But don't be robbed of your hope, and don't give up on your faith. When you find yourself at the waiting block and almost going there and staying there too long, it seems like. You know, again, when I first came to Austin, Texas here with Cheryl back in 1994, the man whose name was Bob Nichols, who pastored a church, thriving church here down in the middle part of our city that was called Redeemed Fellowship. This man is a guy that operates very strongly, very accurately in a thing called Word of Knowledge. And out of the clear blue sky, as I'm walking with him in our first week here in Austin back in 94, he says, the Holy Spirit shows me you're going to find yourself impacting Asia in the days ahead. 3 years goes by, and I find myself for the first time being invited to go to China to smuggle Bibles into the unreached people groups in the place called Xi'an, parts of Beijing, and other cities in that nation. I'm finding myself now going to Asia at least one time every year, to Myanmar, to India, to Nepal, places like this as well. So 3 years goes by, and that word starts getting fulfilled that God spoke 3 years earlier. I see you impacting Asia in your life. Even before that, back in 83, 84, in South Africa, a prophetic team came through that church, and a guy that didn't know me from a bar of soap begins prophesying over my life in a detailed fashion at a pastor's meeting. And he said, I see a web being built around the entire world. I see you being in a base, a home base. And I see you going out and impacting different nations, going out, coming back, imparting, coming back, going out, coming back. And that web has now been going on for years and years and years. What I want to say to you guys is, when God speaks a word to us, it must ring true in our hearts. We must then also wait and let God perform what that word is. That 3 years, the time that word got spoken about Asia, and 3 years of time going by, I didn't find myself fretting and worrying and trying to make things happen. God just put things in my lap automatically. And the time came, the 3 years goes by, and I find myself going to the right place, the right time, with the right people. And God's expanding that like a web more and more and more. What I'm saying to your life is also, can you wait to hear what God says and then wait and not be impatient and try and make it happen in your flesh? We don't want Ishmaels. We want Isaacs. Amen? We want God's promise. You want the real thing. If God has you in the race, He will also choose your lane. He'll supply your direction, and He'll make sure all your needs are met. Where God guides, God will provide. Amen? Whatever door God opens up, if God opens that door up, the provision will be there every single time. I told you guys time and time again, I'm so amazed by Cheryl's testimony here of South Africa, coming here with no money at all to speak of, going through a whole year at Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas, with no income besides about $100 a month from a person overseas that would be used for personal things, personal items of her own use. Time and time again, God would cause mysterious people to put grocery bags full of food in front of her doorstep. And they'd be not want to even be there. They'd kind of knock on the door. They'd be gone. And there'd be the provision for her time and time and time again. And finally, our own traveling ministry at CFNI campus, as I was going out doing those seminars about rock music, began providing more and more of her needs. We started seeing one well dry up, but one well get tapped into. When God dries up one well, God opens up another well, and supply keeps right on happening, because where God guides, He provides. Do you believe that? Number three, write this down. Number three is this. Shut out distractions. When you're waiting, be sure and shut out distractions. I've heard that word today. As Cheryl spoke in the prayer room today before the service as well, we are being bombarded in our minds and our brains, even by sometimes Satan himself or demons around us, to try and make us make decisions or have worry and take inside of our lives that brings us into a place of wrong decisions, hopefully disqualifying us for what God desires to happen as the end result of the race we're in upon the earth. You can take yourself out of the race by letting your mind wander before the starter's horn ever goes off. God is saying, whenever those guys behind the blocks, those guys are there and they're focused on the race, upon the gun going off or the air horn blowing, these runners say, I am so focused, I can totally drown out the crowd, and all I can hear is my own heart beating. I'm trying to get the very, very first decibels of that gun going off or that air horn blowing, so I get the fastest start I can get in that starter's block for that race. The biggest noise will be in our heads. Things that are coming to us, telling us contrary things to what God has spoken to us about being in the starter's block and the time to launch out into the race God has before us. The enemy will make sure of this. Do you think that Hagar, do you think that Abraham are the ones that had in their own minds only the idea to give birth to Ishmael? I can promise you there were demons around Abraham's head speaking things into him, saying, why don't you go ahead and help God out and make this promise come to pass? You know what God wants. You know what God's promised. Let's make sure it happens now a little bit faster than what God had wants. In their own head, their own minds, the struggle goes on with Abraham. And somehow, some way, Abraham failed that test. And he gives birth to a person named Ishmael. And now, over 2,000 years later on, we are still struggling today with the birthing of Ishmael a long, long time ago. There will be consequences for making wrong decisions. There will be consequences for getting ahead of God. But the good news is we serve a God of redemption. And God will take our bad decisions and our false starts and somehow turn them around and bring forth still ourselves getting back on the track, upon the lane that God put us in. We find ourselves in the wrong lane as far as life's concerned. Let's look now at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Because this last Wednesday night, we had a great teaching here by Robert Morris. So I want to encourage you guys to come back this Wednesday night as well. We're in a series right now about being set free. And Robert Morris spoke about the man, his name was Job, who was suffering with a thing that was called pride of self-righteousness. We find in Job that the first 31 or 32 chapters, Job justifies himself as to why he should not be going through what he's going through in life. He said, I give, I help the poor, I bless my servants, I do what's right in the Old Testament, I obey the full law, I don't understand why I'm suffering and going through pain and being robbed from, and Satan's attacking me successfully upon the earth. So he's getting all these gripes out as far as God is concerned, right to God's face even. And then God answers back to him, and God straightens him out, and God shows him, you may think you're righteous in your own eyes, but you're full of self-righteous pride and arrogance. And realize, I'm the one that made this and made that and made gravity and made and diffused light and so forth and so on. Said, you've done none of those things, Job, and I'm saying, listen to my counsel, not your own, because your own counsel can deceive you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, all your paths, that word ways means paths, acknowledge him, and then he will then direct your paths. Jerusalem translation says this, trust wholeheartedly in Yahweh. Put no faith in your own perception. In every course you take, have him in mind. He will see that your paths are going to be smooth in your life. God is saying, before you launch out in any endeavor at all, make sure that God is put first in the thinking of your mind. He might give you his decisions to make. Amen. Look now at Job chapter 42, verse 5 and 6. I'm going to read this. At the end of Job's griping, complaining, justifying himself, and being self-righteous, he finally comes to a place of brokenness and repentance and saying, God, I realize I am wrong. You are right. I am man, and you are God. And in Job 42, verse 5 and 6, he says, I have heard of you, God, by the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes finally see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and repent in ashes. At the end of all of his griping and complaining and going through a time of repentance, God shows himself, reveals himself to Job in these five ways. I am the God of love. I am the God of compassion or control. I am the God who is also all-powerful. I am the God who brings to you divine provision. I'm also the God that's going to protect you and everything you go through in your life. I am all these things. When you know God with your eyes, not just your mind, you're hearing with your ear, you're going to realize God is only good all the time. The main thing many believers have a problem with, they don't really trust that God knows what is best. And they argue with God, they justify what they're doing, and they don't wait for God to show them, reveal to them right decisions to make at the starting blocks of life. So finally, number four, please write this down. I'm saying don't jump the gun. Don't jump the gun. The biggest problem we have in life is trying to help God out and sometimes jump the gun and make the wrong decision and birth that Ishmael who brings forth trouble to us somewhere down the road. You can get set in faith. You can shut out all distractions and still be disqualified from the race by having a false start take place in your life. How many here have heard of a man whose name is Usain Bolt? Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt is the fastest man on the face of the earth. I think this man runs for Jamaica. Back in 2011, during the World Championship 100-meter race, Usain Bolt is there. The whole world is watching on live national television this man to go out there and set one more record in the 100-meter dash. And this guy's at the starting blocks. And the gun goes off, and Usain Bolt has had a false start and ran before the gun went off and gets disqualified from the race. He pulls his shirt off. He's totally disgusted by himself. He rants and raves at himself. Throws almost a total fit to himself. He practiced all these months and years to get disqualified for this one time, this one start, this false start, got disqualified. What can we learn from this story? Even if you're the best in the world, wait for the gun to go off before you start. Wait till God pulls the trigger before you start. Amen? Our young folks have a hard time with that many times themselves, the judgment part of their brains being developed still. But even us older folks have the same problem sometimes of jumping the gun and having false starts take place, getting us disqualified in life. You can be disqualified from the race. One thing that God does well is God knows how to start races. Amen? If there's a big race, anyone's facing this room today, if there's a big race you're facing in somehow, some way, in your marriage, in your career, your education, where you live at, your children's lives, I want you to write these three things down quickly in your notes also. These are three things to always be a litmus test. How do I know when God pulls the trigger and it's time to jump out and the race has begun? The next has begun in my life. God's got a next for all of us. He always will have. How do we know when that next is time to pull the trigger and time to run? Write these things down. Number one, first of all, write down, follow peace and favor. Follow peace and favor. Any move you make in life, those two ingredients must always be there every time. Sometimes there'll be peace, but no favor. Sometimes there'll be favor, but no peace. You know, Cheryl and I, again, have been married now for 35 years of wedded bliss. Amen? And we know what it means to have sometimes doors open up to us in ministry where someone invites us to do this, that, or the other, and we have the favor upon our lives to do that by them, but there's no peace about it. We pray about that. There's just no peace in our heart about that. There's just something just not right with that. And God is saying it's time to wait. If peace is not there, you make a big decision in life. In Acts chapter 27, Acts 27 is Paul the Apostle sailing as a prisoner to Italy. And the Bible says they go to a few different ports and they have some trouble along the way. Some little storms break out and cause some problems in the sailing of the vessel. They finally find themselves at a place called Fair Havens, close to a city called Lycia. And the Bible says the winds calmed down, the seas grew calm, and the captain of the ship said, I think because I'm seeing it good and calm right now, and because I don't like this town called Fair Havens, there's no Chewies, there's no Rudy's, no barbecue here, no good Tex-Mex here. I don't like this place to winter in. I want to move on to the next port called Phoenix. It's all good in Phoenix. Amen. And so in his own mind, he sees there's favor, or he sees there's peace. But Paul the Apostle says, God does not favor your decision. God is telling me if we sail out from Fair Havens, there's going to be disaster take place upon this ship and this trip. But the Bible says the captain's word overrode Paul's word. And they got in the boat, they took off, and we all know the story where they go and get crashed on a place called Malta. God uses that to get many folks saved and healed, but it was not God's perfect plan to get crashed and have shipwreck take place on Malta. I'm telling you guys, follow peace and favor in making big decisions. Number two, look for two or three witnesses. Look for two or three witnesses. We heard that also this morning, already said to us from this pulpit. How many times does it say to do this in the Bible, do you think? It says it three times. Look for two or three witnesses is how she said three times in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15 says this. Matthew 18, 16 says this. And 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1 also says, may every word be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. Before you make a big decision in life and launch out, make sure you're hearing somehow, some way, by delegated authorities, by other believers, by scriptures in the Bible, by prophetic insight, by circumstances. Make sure you're hearing at least the voice of two or three witnesses before you do that. Before Cheryl and I took this church 13 years ago, we had at least three witnesses come to us in different manifestations of different things, made us know this is the place to be at for us 13 years ago. Moving here to Austin, Texas, back in 94, we received at least two or three confirmations by God doing things around us and in us before making a move to this city. Those are big decisions, amen? And God said, I'm going to make sure I give you two or three witnesses. God will do that. And so I'm saying wait for that in making big decisions in life. That does not mean buying a $200 television or a 50-cent piece of bubble gum, okay? That's common sense, okay? I'm saying in big decisions, wait for two or three witnesses. Number three, write this down. Number three, look for God's supernatural workings to initiate the start. Look for God's supernatural workings before you initiate a big start of anything in your life. David had that. Amen? Joshua had that. Jacob had that. Moses had that. Ruth had that. All these guys had necks. They had starts that were great big in their lives. For Moses, it was a burning bush. For Joshua, it was an angel of God coming down to wrestle with him. For David, it was Goliath. It was the death also of Saul. For Ruth, it was her own kinsmen around her dying off, and Boaz, her kinsman redeemers, having favor on her, saying, glean in my field, glean behind my workers, and stay right here where you're at. Don't glean somewhere else. God will always bring supernatural things around you when there's big decisions to make in your life to confirm to you you're going the right way and the right direction in Jesus' name. I've talked to folks in this congregation, the pastor, and they said, why are you Tree of Life? How'd you find Tree of Life? And time again, they say, I was just kind of driving by this building and something kind of got my attention here. I kind of was drawn to the sign, the building, or something here. And I just kind of know in my own heart there was a drawing by the Holy Spirit in me to come to a place like this. We need things like that many times in our lives before making big decisions in life. I pray to God, before you guys got married to your wife or husband, there was some stirrings in your heart towards them. Amen? Not many amens. We have marriage counseling available in the future. If you guys are still wondering if you have the right wife or right husband here. But I pray you know you got the right wife, the right husband, and God did do something to confirm to you you're married to the right one. Amen? If you did not do that, you are now married to the right one in Jesus' name. There's your sign. Okay? Moving on here. We don't like silence on things like that. That's big. Silence of the lambs. All right. If Abraham had looked for these things before he birthed or caused to birth Ishmael, he would never have done what he did to Hagar and brought forth the wrong son at the wrong time. Amen? He should have waited for two or three witnesses. He should have waited for supernatural things around him. He should have waited also for God's supernatural workings and God also bring peace and favor to him before making that decision to give birth to an Ishmael. I promise you those three things would not have been there. If Abraham had looked for those things, they would not have been there when he gave birth or helped give birth to Ishmael. Now, James, come back to the platform to help me out here. I want to say your false start can be buried in God's story for you. The good news about this man, his name again was Usain Bolt. Look up his name sometime on Google, Usain Bolt, U-S-A-I-N Bolt on Google. You will find that this man set world records, was a multi-Olympic gold medal champion, did all kind of great things in the realms of track and field, and somewhere buried in all the good news about him, it talks about the false start he had back in 2011. It does not define his life. His false start does not define his life or his career. His Olympic medals, his accolades, his records, those things define his life. And I'm saying to you guys right now, if you've ever gone through a false start yourselves, God is a God of redemption. And God can bury your false starts under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So whatever your false start might have been in the past, I'm saying it's under the blood of Christ. And God is saying, now pick up the pieces, get back on the starting block. You've trained for it. You're anointed for it. You're called for it. Do not disqualify yourself, says the Lord, because you're still my child, my son, my daughter, and I qualify you, says the Lord. Let's read now with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for a moment. Let's read now Romans chapter 6, verse 24 in closing. I want to read verse 25 as well, and it says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. God is telling us things he puts inside of us for promises, for starts in our race. There's going to be a hope inside of us for that. But God is saying, you're not going to see it. You're not going to see the end result. I'm going to show you the start place, the start place to begin with, but the finish line may be weeks, months, or years down the road, and the starting place may also be weeks, months, or years down the road. I want to put you in the right track, the right lane, the right ministry, the right workplace, the right marriage. All those things, you'll be put in those right lanes for that, says God. But the starting, what I want to do for you and through you with those things, those lanes, will be up to me to determine. The times are in my hands, is what God is saying to us in this message. Before we pray this morning, I want to say to you guys again, God's got a race for every one of us. God is saying, if you're set in your blocks, your starting blocks, be set in faith in Jesus' name. Shut out all distractions out of your mind, out of your heart, out of your soul. Let your focus be upon God, the author and finisher of your faith. Do not jump the gun and start the race prematurely. And the question this morning is, first of all, are you even in this race? Now, this race that God talks about here this morning is not about salvation, because the fact is all the Israelites that came out of Egypt had gone through a type of salvation, because all of them escaped Egyptian bondage, their flesh, went through the waters of baptism of the Red Sea, and were now in a place called the wilderness wanderings. They were all saved, so to speak. But only Joshua and Caleb entered into their inheritance. You see, they ran the race and they finished the race and they received their inheritance upon the earth and also the life to come. And I'm saying today again, you can be disqualified from the race of your inheritance. Not going to heaven. You're going to go to heaven. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. But be disqualified from the inheritance, the full inheritance God has for you in this earth and also in the life to come. God wants a rich reward given to you that comes by obedience to Him. The first thing in this morning today is this. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is your heart right with God today? If you want to say to me, to God this morning, I want to make sure before I leave this place today, my heart's right with God. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I want to be able to be in the race that God has for me. Because the good news is, God has a plan for every human born upon the face of the earth. But that plan is only revealed to people who know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. If you want to receive prayer today, to get your heart right with God, have your heart right, made right with God, or come to Christ for the first time perhaps, would you be very bold right now, where heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for privacy's sake only? Would you be very, very bold right now and just raise one hand to God if you do that, please? Raise one hand to God. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see those two hands over there. Over here, God bless you. These three hands. Anybody else? Thank you, Father. We praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Just let God speak to us today. Anybody else to join these three? I'm going to have our prayer partners that are here. Go ahead and start coming to the front. Let's all stand up if we do that. Let's all stand to our feet, please. We got prayer partners here that are male and female. Jack, can come to the front, and also Susan, if you have time, can come to the front as well, please. Maria, if you have time, Therese, come to the front. I want those three folks whose hands were raised up to make sure you do not leave this place today before you take and make time to come to the front and find one of these prayer partners. Talk with them and tell them, I'm a person here that raised their hand today. I want to receive prayer this morning. I want to have my heart right with God before I leave this place today. I want to receive Christ perhaps as my personal Lord and Savior. And praise God for those who will do that before you leave this place today. Either now or later on, makes no difference. Just make sure you do that today. Amen. Now beyond this, I want to pray for those who are going through a time of waiting in your life. You've been waiting for things, again, in your marriage, your health, your body, your finances, children's items that are there perhaps, rebellious kids coming back to God, waiting for a business to get birth, waiting for promotions on your job. There are things you know that God wants you to have, but you're in the starting block still today, and you're still waiting for that breakthrough. If you're like that this morning, would you raise one hand to God right now, please? Just right across this sanctuary. Anyone like that? God bless all these folks, left, center, right. Let's right now just take a moment here. All you with your hands raised up, all that are not, hands aren't raised up, let's pray together right now and ask the Holy Spirit to take and give us, first of all, the ability to wait upon Him and know what that means. Father God, we say, Lord, these people whose hands have been raised up, that are in a place of waiting, I say, oh God, again for them also today, that Your grace is sufficient for them. They shall not jump the gun. They shall not operate by their minds and their emotions. They shall not operate by circumstances that seem like it's calm and peaceful and time to launch out. But they, oh God, shall be those who receive two or three witnesses, or receive a supernatural confirmation, or receive a peace and a favor about the decision they make in this life, in Jesus' name. We right now rebuke the works of hell that try to bring to them false starts, bring to them words in their minds that are totally contrary to God's will, bring confusing things to them, or even out and out lie to them. We bind those lies right now in the name of Jesus, and we say truth sets them free in Jesus' name. They're launched out in truth, timing, and righteousness in Jesus' name. I praise you, God. We thank you, Lord, this day. This shall be their portion in the land in Jesus' name. Let's wait for a moment here, a little bit longer. Let's wait 1 second here. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes. I just sense right now the Holy Spirit's showing me, for some reason, a cornfield full of ripened corn. And he's saying there's somebody here, at least one person, who's got a harvest that's ready to be harvested. And he's saying you must discern the time to put in the sickle, lest that corn would rot in that field. But also, don't do it too soon, lest that corn not be matured and ready to be sold at market for the best price it can bring. That may be you today. About it's a harvest. It's something about business. The place you work at, the place you operate, the place you have a business. If that's you right now today, let's just pray together right now where you're at. Father, I thank you, Lord God, whoever that word may be for. They will not, Lord, make a premature decision about their business, about the place they work at, oh God, and set the sickle in too soon, but also let them not wait too long. That the harvest, oh God, would rot in the crop and not bring forth, oh God, the desired fruit that you have ordained for them. Let them discern the times, discern the times, discern the seasons, and act, oh God, accordingly in the name of Jesus. Last of all, this word that Susan gave this morning also, and what we heard about the persecuted church today, I believe today, this week, is a time for us to realize it is time for us to pray about the persecuted church overseas. Would you guys please, some of you guys that are here, covenant this week, I will pray for at least 5 minutes a day this week for the people of India, the people of Iraq that are being attacked by the Hindu spirit, by the Islam spirit there. Heads are being cut off. Churches are being burned. People are being destroyed as far as our bodies are concerned. And it's not always God's desire that takes place and happens right now for them. Amen? So will you pray for at least 5 minutes this week for the persecuted church in India, in Iraq, in the Pacific? Whatever God puts in your heart about that also, do that. But also, this is a week for the cloak to come off. This holding our eyes back from seeing unbelievers around us the way that God sees them. God sees them saved. God sees them redeemed. God sees them set free. God sees them praising the Lord and knowing Him as Lord and Savior. Will you take that cloak off this day in Jesus' name? Please hand that microphone to Jack here. Let him dismiss us in prayer. God bless you folks today that have been here. Some guys that are, maybe if you're newer here, you're saying, man, this is a praying church. You guys pray a lot here. We know we need God to intervene. Amen? And the good news is you'd be amazed by how many prayers God's answering and God has answered. Amen? And so we are not discouraged to pray. We are encouraged to pray because we're seeing results, that God's bringing results from prayer. Amen? So when we come together like this, your angels are here, mine are here, God is here. When we come together, powers released against the powers of darkness, and good things happen in Jesus' name. Amen? So I'm saying use this time together to bombard the heavens and know that God wants to move by His Spirit. Please stay if you can for the great lunch, delicious spaghetti, salad, dessert, drinks, and I think that's the main thing that's there. But please stay if you can. Support the children for that if you do that. God bless you folks. We'll let Jack dismiss us. If you can, come back Wednesday night. This next teaching also Wednesday night is called Believers That Are in Bondage. Believers in Bondage, How Do We Get Set Free? So come back if you can Wednesday night for that. You'll appreciate that as well. It'll do us all good. God bless you, Jack, if you could help us out.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your wonderful word that came forth this day. And Father, I ask that it go deep into our hearts, Lord God, and give us the freedom, the confidence we need to make good, solid decisions in our lives, Lord God. We thank you that you're shedding light in these areas where we've had places of darkness, where we've made bad decisions. Father, we thank you that your light is coming. And we've been given these tools, Father, so that we can see things clearly and walk in your light. Father, I ask for your blessing and your grace to be with each person as they go on their way today. And Father, we also thank you for this wonderful meal that we're fixing to partake of. And everybody is encouraged to participate in this meal that we're having. We love you guys. Y'all have a wonderful day in the Lord. Amen.